It is Thursday and time again for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on Maine politics. This week, Attorney Cynthia Dill, a former Democratic state senator, and Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing, a former Republican lawmaker. They spoke, as ever, with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Meredith, happy Thursday. Well, we've just seen some fireworks. Perhaps the biggest display was at the State House in the wee hours of the morning this past week, as an impasse over the state budget resulted in a brief shutdown of state government, which was finally ended just after midnight on the 4th of July with a compromise agreement. Cynthia, first of all, why did the budget get put off up until the deadline? Was it procrastination, or is this a political tactic to induce pressure?
I think it was a political tactic to induce pressure and a political stunt by the governor, because we saw the goalposts move so many times, and all of a sudden the budget was, you know, balanced on some issue around increasing the lodging tax of 1.5%, which Governor LePage was for before he was against. And it just it became really clear to me that it was just a power play on the governor's part.
Meredith?
Well, I think that it was destined to somewhat happen. I think we talked about this 6 months ago, that this would be the year and potentially the year that this could happen, being the fact that the governor signed up for re-election. We had a number of folks that are termed out, and we knew the very contentious issue of the 3% surtax issue that was voted by the citizenry by only 1% in November. And then I think the drama and the pressure piece came together. It was sort of the perfect storm.
Okay, well, and we'll talk about those initiatives and the undoing of several of them in a moment. So who won, Meredith?
I think that the Republicans won on this one. The governor, in the end, I think, became very, very clear what was negotiable and what was non-negotiable. And then he was able to get the House Republicans to stand with him and put it to bed.
Cynthia, who won?
Well, if you're talking about policy, I think that the Democrats won, and policy and governing, the Democrats won some points because they, you know, exhibited a willingness to compromise and to meet people halfway and to move the state forward. When it comes to political messaging, I agree with Meredith that I think the governor won because his message was he was, you know, standing firm for the people, whereas the Democrats could have embraced that 3% tax because it was voted on, in fact, by the people at a referendum and stood for the people in that regard. It ended up looking like the Democrats were standing for state employees, which is right where the governor wants them, because then it shows they're just protecting union members. So when push comes to shove in terms of political points, the Republicans maybe came out okay.
And so this won't be remembered next November or used in campaign. Oh, you know, the governor shut down the state government, or it won't, will it not be as powerful because it wasn't really a shutdown? I mean, it didn't have a big impact because of the holiday weekend.
If he had shut down the beaches, it would have been a whole different ballgame because it was beautiful weather, holiday weekend, but no one really felt the impact of the government shutdown.
Let's talk about that 3% surcharge on wealthier households, which voters had approved last November as part of this plan to fund education. The governor didn't like that and, as you've mentioned, undid that as part of this budget negotiation. Will that not have any repercussion, Meredith, politically?
It remains to be seen here. There's certainly a spin the Democrats can take, which is to say $162 million has been increased and is going towards education. And people need to understand the money isn't just going to be evenly divided over the school funding formula. It actually does tip towards economically less strong areas of the state. So there's going to be a lot more conversation about where that money is going to go.
So, but Cynthia, there were two other measures also that were altered. These were voter-approved initiatives. For example, the minimum wage for tipped workers was taken out of the past initiative. And ranked choice voting, which was approved by voters, was undone. Now, the courts found constitutional problems. But all those things together, there's a theme there of the legislature and governor undoing what the voters wanted.
Well, and it goes back to the 55% for education. I mean, we've seen this before. People go out and vote for something and the legislature decides that people don't know what, you know, what they want or what they need. And whether it'll have political impact, I sort of doubt it just because the numbers were so close. It'd be one thing if it was an overwhelming vote for the 3% surcharge. But as Meredith mentioned earlier, it was a slim margin. I didn't support the 3% surcharge because, you know, what I thought was going to happen happened, which is it ended up being this big issue that legislators had to take one side or the other on. And I think the Democrats may have misstepped in their negotiation by giving up the 3% so early on. They've given up everything. I mean, they've given up their negotiating power in terms of because the governor already had what he wanted. So he's just going to take more and more and more.
Also this week, Bar Harbor businessman Tim Rich has announced that he'll challenge Republican incumbent Bruce Poliquin in the 2nd District next year. Rich says he believes Poliquin is vulnerable because of his votes on health care and for hiding from the press. Meredith, is Poliquin vulnerable?
Anybody in elected office can be vulnerable on one day or another. I mean, the health care vote is so complicated and it's so changing. So far, I don't think he's been damaged by any of that. And then this perceived hiding, which he's not hiding. He's out at more parades and community events all over the 2nd District because he's so great at doing those. He's the Energizer Bunny, and he is out there everywhere. I think it's all just because he hasn't had a formal press conference or a town hall. Therefore, he's been branded as hiding, but he's not hiding.
Cynthia, what are the signs that the 2nd District might be in play in view of, say, the National Party committees? Would the Democrats start focusing on Maine and developing candidates? Or what are the signs?
Well, some of the signs, I think, do revolve around the health care bill because so many people in the 2nd District who supported Donald Trump and, in my opinion, probably supported Poliquin, are coming now to see that a lot of what they campaigned on actually hurts them significantly and substantially. And I disagree that that Obamacare is so complicated. I think a lot of people now, the poll numbers on the favorability around Obamacare has risen sharply because people are realizing like, wow, it's not perfect, but it's health insurance and I may lose it. And that on top of some of the other initiatives coming out of a Trump White House, I think does give Bruce Poliquin some vulnerability. However, he does have ample resources and incumbency is very, very important going into an election like this. And he's a really aggressive campaigner. He's a hard person to run against.
But, you know, the other piece of that is that to me, one of the signs that he's vulnerable is when you're going to see some really serious Democrat candidates step into the ring. And so far, I wouldn't put any of them in the serious category.
Cynthia, Meredith, see you next week.